Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. Keeping Bob Enyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Go to the kgov.com website. Click on the store. Look at the subscriptions. Take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more. Get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. So go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today. Bob Enyart
Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have our annual winter telethon going on. We're at $10,800. Our goal is $50,000, so we need a lot of help if you possibly can. What we'll cover on today's show, National Geographic acknowledges their racist past, and they need to acknowledge a lot more than that. But also, we want to talk about a news report in Western Pennsylvania on the dramatic increase in sexually transmitted disease among young people in one county there. And that's not unlike in cities and towns across America. So we'll talk about that. And also, books that have come across my desk recently, some purchased by our listeners to help in the research we do to bring cutting-edge material to Bob Enyart Live and Theology Thursday, Real Science Radio. I want to talk to you about some of these books. And when you read a book, what's your goal? And then what's the goal of a talk show host, a teacher, a pastor, when he reads a book? Also, a stunning video on the Grand Canyon, the origin of the Grand Canyon. So later in the show, hopefully we'll get the time to get to these books in this video, and I'll share with you how these kinds of materials then make their way into the message, the very deliberately crafted message that we bring not only to the body of Christ, but to the public at large, and over a period of 27 years now on the air 5 days a week. So National Geographic, they've acknowledged their racist past that lasted for decades, their degrading presentation of blacks and other races to their white American readers and their white European readers. But it wasn't only racism. It was also aggressive sexism and bigotry against Christians and against our beliefs. I'll give you an example of that later in the program. But first, we want to get to this news article. There are thousands of articles to consider in the news because of the distribution of the internet. And my attention was brought to one out of Western Pennsylvania because of memories going back to the 1970s. I became a Christian in 1973. A conversion. I grew up Catholic. I was an altar boy. I used to read, I think they called the reader the lector, and I used to read the readings from the epistles or the Old Testament in the Mass when I was a young kid. And our church, St. Anthony's in Hawthorne, New Jersey, they'd have, I think, 3 or 4 Masses on a Sunday morning, and I would often walk a couple miles from my home to get there for the earliest Mass, stay through the morning, each Mass, and do the reading. With all that, in 8 years of Catholic grammar school, I never came to the point where I thought that I had a relationship with God. I never came to the point where I could be confident in my salvation. Then I went to a secular high school, Manchester Regional High School, and there was a campus life ministry operating at the school, not on the school grounds, but they invited students to come to their weekly meetings, their retreats, and they would present the gospel. And so I struggled with their teaching for only a short time. I had believed in evolution. I was raised a Catholic, and their teachings were different from what I had been brought up to believe. But I considered them. I asked them questions about the Bible. I remember they opened to the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 2, some of the most extraordinary thoughts I had ever heard. And within a short time, I became a Christian. I converted. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and it was a significant conversion for me. And I recall over the next months and few years, my brothers became believers, my sister, my mother, and eventually the last holdout in our family was my father, but we all became Christians. And we stopped going to the Roman Catholic Church, and we began going to Bible churches. And fast forward from 1973 to 2018, 45 years later, and I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and for 27 years now, have been the Christian host of a news talk show. Well, way back in the 1970s, I became a Christian in 73, and in 1976, there was a Jesus rally. I got to go way back in my memory for these things. In fact, on the internet, I've been searching for a major Jesus rally in Florida, maybe just outside of Orlando, Florida. I think it was 1977. I can't recall. I had attended, there were a couple major Jesus rallies in Mercer, Pennsylvania. Jesus 76, 45,000 people attended, mostly young people. Jesus 78, going to the first one, of course, you meet friends. And some of the friends that we met, my friends and I who attended, lived in Western Pennsylvania, Beaver, Pennsylvania. So that's where this news story that I'm going to get to in a moment, that's where it originates from. But then went back for Jesus 78. I remember in New Jersey, there were massive rallies in the 70s. There was a Jesus 76 rally at Shea Stadium, 35,000 people, although that's in New York. The Giant Stadium in New Jersey, that was packed out, another incredible rally. I think that one was 1979. In fact, my mother, Connie, and her sister, Aunt Pat, both attended. This was in the years before Promise Keepers. So these were some of the early foundational experiences in my Christian life. When I eventually went to Promise Keepers, I love that ministry. Coach Bill McCartney, one of the two founders. Years later, I got to go hiking with the co-founder of Promise Keepers, Dave Wardell, here in the Rocky Mountains. Three of us, the founder of Promise Keepers in Oklahoma, and Dave Wardell and I had a wonderful time hiking here in Colorado. And I'm just sharing a few memories before I get to the story. But I'd like to tell you something about Promise Keepers that I love the organization. Of course, they've had their problems. Who hasn't had their problems? They had to recall one book because its author implied something, maybe not intentionally, but something perverse about Jesus. And so they recalled one of the books they had distributed. But what a wonderful organization and what phenomenal things they accomplished. I recall that we asked Coach Bill McCartney to speak at one of our Operation Rescue events, and he said he was interested, and then we could not get him to say yes or no, and the date was closing in. And so we went to King Soopers, ordered a large sheet cake that was decorated like a football field with the players on one end. They were babies in diapers with football helmets on, and it said, "The future CU Buffs." And we had that delivered to the athletic office at CU, and within 10 minutes of the cake arriving, Bill McCartney called, he booked, and we had one of the most extraordinary nights ever in the history of the battle against the killing of innocent children. But an episode happened with me and Promise Keepers Oklahoma that I don't believe I've ever shared on the air. I've hardly ever shared it in private, but they had asked me to be one of the speakers. Normally, they'd have a dozen speakers, and they'd have a main headliner, and then they'd have a few other more well-known speakers, and then they'd have maybe 10 others. And on the posters that were distributed all over, this was Oklahoma City, if I recall, the posters distributed all over town in churches, Christian bookstores, they had my name among the three just below the headliner. So it was in larger, bold font type. The date is nearing, and I get a call from the organizer, and he says, "Bob, I'm devastated to say this, but I have to disinvite you." from speaking. And I said, John, his name's John. John, that's fine. Of course, no problem at all. And he said, I want to let you know, I was on the air back then in 80 cities, five nights a week for an hour with Bob and Yurt Live, mostly on TV, some radio affiliates, on multiple satellite channels. Every night, it was just an awesome time. And he said that the homosexuals have put such pressure on the local churches that the local churches have threatened to back out if we don't disinvite you. That happened 20 years ago. I never held it against Promise Keepers. I love those guys, and they've done a tremendous effort at bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to men in America. And it was a movement. You know, when movements happen, leaders think that they could control the movement or they can make it a permanent part of the landscape. But nobody runs a movement. You could ride a movement. And you might try to steer it, but mostly you're along for the ride when movements happen. And so Promise Keepers, just absolutely awesome. What happened then in the 90s, it was a glimpse of how homosexuality would control the message of the church. It was a glimpse then, and we were on perhaps the tip of the spear at the time in opposing homosexuality aggressively and directly. And we were warning Christian leaders that the more respect and tolerance you give to homosexuals, the quicker you're going to destroy the moral foundation of the body of Christ. So all of that happened. Now it's all past history. And we have on our website at kgov.com our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay. Because it's no longer all that significant because so many Christian leaders are promoting homosexuality, so many organizations, even though it destroys the lives of the people who participate in it. God warned us, Jesus warned us about sexual immorality. God made us male and female. Jesus said that God made us male and female. So when the culture is convinced that homosexuality is good, that boys can be girls and girls could be boys, what they've done is they've inoculated people against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is much harder to trust in Jesus who made us, who loves us, who died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead. It's much harder to trust in him when you think he was wrong about God making us male and female, and that sex is only moral and right within marriage, and that the marriage covenant should be undefiled, and that it's not consenting adults, it's intimacy within marriage only, and that it should be, it is really, but it should be criminal to traffic in human sexuality, like with pornography and so on, in Hollywood films and cable TV and all that. The sexual immorality that is part and parcel of the message of the Bible, as that is attacked, the real goal by the left is to undermine the authority of Jesus Christ and to distance young people and all people from him. One of the consequences is that there's disease. There's also depression. There's also teen suicide. There's also people weakening their future marriage because they've been with 3, 4, 5, 8 people sexually before they even get married, and that tends to undermine the strength of their eventual marriage. But let's hear about what's going on in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, from this CBS News report.
There is new disturbing information out tonight about the health of young people between 15 and 24. And a state health department alert that age group is singled out as having a significant increase in sexually transmitted diseases. John Shumway has that story, new at 6.
They are numbers that are hard to comprehend in a time of social media, health, and awareness.
The younger population is more promiscuous today than probably ever before.
When Dr. Frank DeCenzo saw the alert put out by the State Health Department of Beaver County, he found the numbers
quite concerning and we in our practice have seen an uptick in the number of gonorrhea cases and chlamydia cases.
The alert says among 15 to 24-year-old men and women, gonorrhea in particular was up 34% last year compared to 2016, and HIV up nearly three times.
The HIV rate increasing 300% is very concerning.
There is equal concern in Allegheny County, where Dr. Karen Hacker at the health department says, quote, our incident rates for syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and HIV have and continue to exceed the state's incident rates, end quote.
I've seen high school students that tell me they've had, you know, multiple sexual partners and ladies as young as 14.
His OBGYN practice encourages his sexually active patients to be tested.
So a patient could have this ongoing for some time and be in the category of no symptoms.
And spreading it to others. I took the question of why this is happening to the CMU campus.
I guess people don't think it's that much of a big deal, especially with advancements in medical care.
Lack of responsibility, lack of proper sex ed teaching.
A lack of feeling like comfortable talking to each other about something that you might have.
Dr. DeCenzo says in jeopardy, a woman's ability to ever have a child.
The good doctor points out the way to avoid these problems in the first place is to use a condom. But first, he says, young people need to recognize the risk and the need. John Shumway, KDKA TV News.
Everyone who spoke in that segment, each and every person was a fool. From the reporters to the doctor to the students, you know, when they said, let's take this question to the campus, as though these kids are going to have the wisdom to provide the warning and the correction in the culture's thinking. The doctor begins saying, how can this be happening with all the social media we have? The social media is part of the problem. But then he says, with all the education that we have, recall that I shared on this show maybe a month ago that when I was a kid in the hospital, I had a kidney disease. I missed a few months of school, had a tutor. I was in the hospital for a long time. And I would see the doctors and nurses going into the doctor's lounge. And when they'd open the door, smoke would just pour out. They're smoking in there. And in sixth grade, I remember the lesson that I learned from that education is not the answer. Education is not the answer. Dr. Dobson on Focus on the Family interviewed a couple students who went to a Planned Parenthood sex education class. They were thrilled. Here they are in high school, and here's an adult, maybe a young, pretty woman, talking to them about having sex, about how to have sex, about how to have protected sex. And so what did this young couple do? As soon as school was over, they went to the parking lot and had unprotected sex in the back seat of the boy's car right after. That was quite an episode on Focus on the Family. It was a stunning account. And of course, it illustrated the problem with education apart from a moral foundation, apart from a spiritual foundation. In fact, you could have all the wisdom in the world, and the Bible shows this explicitly. You can have plenty of wisdom, but without loving God and without loving your neighbor, you could destroy yourself and destroy your neighbors. And that's illustrated in the life of Solomon. All the wisdom in the world, and wisdom is more important than raw knowledge, than the data. Wisdom is understanding the significance of the data. So you could have all the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding available to you, and yet without loving God and without loving your neighbor, it is all nothing. And so these kids are suffering from syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV. You know, they didn't mention HPV, human papilloma virus. That has got to be epidemic at this high school. It's just got to be. And by the way, HPV and the severe health consequences that come from HPV, a condom does not protect a child from HPV, nor does it protect children from the emotional devastation of being used as a sex object. Because there are two ways that teenagers who are not married, young people not married, have sex. In one way is because they love each other, and that's becoming less and less of the norm. But when they actually love each other, then when they invariably break up and go to the next sexual partner, it's like they've torn a part of their heart away from themselves. They've torn a part of it away. But more commonly today, young women have been so objectified by our culture, by Hollywood, our late night talk shows, by films, by the internet, by YouTube. It just goes on and on. By music, that it really means almost nothing for a young girl to have sex with some boy or girls or a few of each. It means almost nothing. So it doesn't always pull a part of you away because you're already almost dehumanized. You are already objectified. So here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've been teaching a cohesive Christian worldview for almost three decades. Cohesive. My wife, Cheryl, said this week after we left church, she said, you know what's interesting about our church? Jason Troyer, one of our elders, preached last week, and I was back in the pulpit this week. But Cheryl said, what's so interesting about the message of the church is that it's all cohesive. It all fits together, whether it's the age of the earth or human sexuality, whether it's economics or criminal justice, it's all a cohesive message because it all comes from the Bible. And I said to her, what a great point, because God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he also said that he created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and therefore we have the Sabbath. And so both of those, sexual morality and science and the age of the earth, the origins, it's all in the Ten Commandments, as is the foundation of economics, thou shalt not steal. Without the moral principle of thou shalt not steal, enforced by governments, you cannot have economic calculation. To the extent that they adopt policies that violate God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, economic calculation becomes difficult, if not impossible. And Exhibit A is Venezuela. Exhibit B now is South Africa. So it's a cohesive biblical worldview that we have received from God through his word, the Judeo-Christian scriptures from Genesis through Revelation. And that's what we bring in our Bible studies, verse by verse, going through the whole Bible, our sermons, and here on Bob and Yurt Live. By the way, let me mention again our telethon. We're at $10,800, and our goal is $50,000. That seems impossible, doesn't it? Hey, it seemed impossible to abolish slavery. It seemed impossible to defeat Jericho. Look at the walls the city had, fortified, and they're still there. Most of them are in ruins, and one part of the wall never fell, just like we read in the book of Joshua. Our telethon, the goal is $50,000. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or our website, kgov.com. Just click on the store. And if you sign up for a subscription, a monthly resource like our topical videos, our sermons, or our Bible studies, we have these awesome monthly resources. They get mailed to you. Then we take that monthly amount, whether it's $20 a month or $35. Some people get almost everything we offer as monthlies, and so it could be $100 or more a month, and we take that amount, whatever it is, multiply it by 10, and put it toward the telethon goal. So please, if you possibly can, please help out, or with a donation or a monthly donation, so that we have an idea. We can forecast our coming revenue so that we can plan effectively. Now, National Geographic. So they've acknowledged their racist past, and it lasted for decades as they presented blacks always in a degrading way to their white readers. Always degrading, and also other races. I remember when Bill Clinton went to New Zealand, and 10 of us went there, And we went there to protest him as a rapist. Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, and we didn't want the world to honor a man who raped a woman who's credibly accused of rape. And that, of course, has gone from being a tiny footnote to a significant part of the public awareness that Bill Clinton is a rapist or that he has been credibly accused of being a rapist. So when we were there, I remember some of their indigenous peoples. These men, they had the cameras of the world set on them because Bill Clinton arrives at the airport. And here they are. Each one is 300 to 400 pounds. They're wearing tight little shorts. Their bellies are hanging all out. They're doing some bizarre chant and banging on drums. They look like, I mean, it's fine. A culture that has that as part of their culture, there's nothing wrong with that. But to present that to the world, they look like buffoons. How many titans of industry thought, I want to invest in New Zealand? Look what's going on there. How many? It was degrading. Nothing wrong with that at a clam bake on the beach as part of the show. And nothing wrong with that. You don't have to hide it. But you feature it to the world? That's what National Geographic did to blacks and Pacific Islanders and to so many others around the world. They presented them. In fact, they'd even call them savages. So now they've admitted their racist past. But they also should have said, although it might have been too hard with the current Me Too movement and the Hollywood sex scandal that has metastasized throughout the culture, that's really the most moral thing that's happened in America in decades. But they should have said also our sexist past, because it was, and in fact it still is. And they should have said our bigoted past against Christians, for example. So here, let me quote to you from a caption on a photo of two Aboriginal people from Australia. It said, South Australian blackfellows, these savages rank lowest in intelligence of all human beings. And you think they really knew that? Or was that just their bigoted racist bias? That's what it was. In fact, National Geographic has been Darwinian since their foundation in 1888. And Darwinism, the racism in Australia, what the Darwinists did, and the Darwinists in the Soviet Union, and the Darwinists in China, and the Darwinist leaders of the National Socialists in Germany, between them slaughtering over 100 million people. And so, yeah, National Geographic, it's good that they've acknowledged their racist past and constantly, constantly presenting minority women, brown-skinned tribesmen, as savage, unsophisticated, unintelligent, and usually naked, usually unclothed. And you know what that did to the minds of young men growing up, boys, with every issue or every other issue, getting to see. In fact, the analysis of National Geographic's publication showed that some of the women that were pictured, the photos taken were almost like glamour shots, almost like glamour shots of naked women or nearly naked women. And that was for the benefit of their pervert male readers. That's what it was for. And on top of everything else, National Geographic has also raped the world of many of the national treasures, especially in the Middle East and Africa and elsewhere. Then when you realize on Judgment Day that they're going to stand before God and they're going to be condemned because they convinced millions of people that there is no God, that Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be, and that the Bible has no authority. Imagine what that will be like for their editors and publishers. Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com. May God bless you. Hey, this is Bob Enyart for our annual winter telethon, the month of March 2018. Our goal is to raise $50,000. That can be either in donations, of course, or in listeners purchasing our materials, fabulous topical DVDs, Blu-rays, download video. We have Bible study seminars, verse-by-verse studies through many of the books of the Bible. We also have our sermons. And then there's My Life's Work, the plot and overview of the Bible. The way to browse our materials, whether they're our science materials, apologetics in defense of the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ, or our theology material, government, parenting, so many crucial areas of life, we have spent now 27 years working to produce materials to help people have more fulfilled lives, better relationships, stronger families, be more effective as a member of your church, in fact, even of the community. So if you're interested in helping us reach more people, please consider giving to the outreach, Bob and Yurt Live, or go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could browse through all the topics and look at the monthly subscriptions, monthly sermons, Bible studies, topical videos, Best of Bob, our classic television shows, back when Bob and Yurt Live was on all over the country on television 5 nights a week, all of that available on DVD. And then also there are monthly donations. So if you were to subscribe to a monthly service, we would take the amount of that, whether it's $20 a month or $35 or $50, whatever it is, or if you were to sign up for a monthly donation of $75 or $100 a month even, whatever, we take those monthly subscriptions and multiply it by 10 so that we have an amount to apply toward our telethon goal of $50,000. The other materials, of course, whatever you purchase, that amount will be applied to the telethon goal. If you donate more than $100 or purchase more than $100 worth of our resources, then we'll also give you a gift. Any DVD or MP3 CD that we produce will give to you as a thank you. So you can call us 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store. The goal is $50,000. Thank you so much for your consideration, and may God bless you.